Let's go to Psalms 1 first, and then put a marker in Jeremiah 17. Of course, I'm always listening, especially when I don't do the morning services. I want to hear the mind of Christ and the flow of the Spirit. Again, this morning, while Mark Jenkins was teaching his lesson, which I thought was really good, superb, and he was transparent and talked about this miracle that he had, and then how, in case you weren't here, he suffered for quite a while with something that's called dry eye, and it's where the tear ducts dry up. And, you know, your tear ducts are supposed to be constantly bringing a saline solution that helps moisturize your eyeball. And if that stops, then what he was saying, I've never had it happen to me, you can have all different degrees of it. Both of my parents went through what's called dry eye, but his got so bad the eyeball would just dry out, and the way he talks, it would just scale off. The outside layer would just, he said it's very painful. And he suffered with that for quite a while and was seeing a doctor, I think, but he was using, you have to use artificial drops to help stop that. Well, anyway, one day, and I happened to be here that day, I remember when it happened, Dave, like he does, was just walking close by where Mark was sitting, and he just said, tear ducts. Someone's having trouble with tear ducts. Of course, Mark stood up. It was a word of knowledge from the Lord, and I don't remember exactly what Dave prayed, but the end result, from Mark's own testimony, he said, from that day forward, for months, I never had any more trouble with it. It was an instant manifestation. I mean, it was just, that was it. His tear ducts began working like they're supposed to work, and it went on for quite a few months. But then, he said, several months, I think it was less than a year, several months down the road, he said, all of a sudden, that same symptoms came back again. You know, even with Jesus, when Jesus was tempted by the devil out in the wilderness, after that was over, one of the Gospels says that Satan left him for a season. The Amplified says, until a more opportune time. Plain English, I like to call it Satan's counterattack. I've been through it myself. Well, let me finish the testimony. So he said, sadly, this time, he says he knows if he would have spoken the word or spoken to the symptoms and commanded them to go, they would have gone. But sadly, this time, he just forgot. He didn't do it. And he began speaking out of his mouth the symptoms again. And if I heard him correctly, he's still struggling with it now. I don't know for sure. I didn't get a chance to talk with him afterwards. Now, I've been through that. Y'all have heard my testimony. I mean, if anyone in this church has ever taught about the confession of your mouth, it's Gary Carpenter. I've taught about it a lot. I know about it. Normally, if I get a frontal attack, what I mean is something that to me is obviously the devil. I'm real quick to get God's word in my mouth and begin speaking it, you know. But I told you about the time, which I'm not going to go into great detail again, but that subtle attack that came on my back, you know. And that time, I just didn't recognize it because I'm in my 60s. I'm getting older. A lot of my friends are getting hip replacements and stuff. So your mindset, you know, starts, if you're not careful, you start thinking just like a natural person. And so I just opened my mouth and my back is killing me. If this gets any worse, I'm going to be in a wheelchair. And I was just saying all of this, just saying what comes naturally. And finally, my little lovely wife, you know, with love, but with authorities. One day I was saying something wonderfully spiritual like that. You know, my back is killing me or something. And she said, if you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal all the rest of your ministry. Boy, it made me angry at the moment, you know. Hey, I teach this stuff. You know. But I had to repent and I had to start, and it took a while to get that turn. Now, let me give you a better example. Some of you know, some of you don't know, that the reason that I quit trucks is that I developed a heart condition called, I thought the guy said, supraventricular dicardia. I've had people in the medical profession say it's really supraventricular tachycardia. Tachycardia, I don't know. All I know is it's a super beat that comes every now and then. One super beat, the way they described it, sure enough, was like the symptoms, because I would... Then I recognized that it came on me slowly also. You get one of those, and you're kind of, whoo. You ever have one of those? Whoo. The room spins just for a second, you know, a little, whoa. But that would be the end of it. Those aren't really dangerous. But what happens when if you get serious supraventricular ardia, whatever, it starts a series of those. Bam, bam, bam. And what it does then, it vacates the heart of blood. You black out, which is not good when you're driving an 80,000-pound big rig down the highway, you know, to black out. So that's the reason that I quit driving trucks. And they told me then that it was incurable. Now, by the way, I don't believe in incurable diseases. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I don't think so. I have no faith in incurable diseases. I have faith in my Lord who heals incurable diseases. Okay? Now, in that case, just the same way that it happened with Mark, one time, a service, Dave walked by, and of course he knew about the condition. I'd shared with him the situation. And he said, "This is your night, Gary. This is your night." And he said, "God's going to give you a new heart." And so he called me out. I was standing right over there. You've seen it 100 times. Pray. Splat. Pow. Slid up under the chair. Now, you know, I was taught, hey, if you're healed, you throw away your medicine. So I went home. I threw away my medicine. 7 days later, I had another episode and nearly died again. That's another whole teaching, but I had to learn to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he told me to, Dave taught me, God doesn't guarantee you an action in the natural because you take a step in the natural. You've got to first take your steps in the Spirit. Yes. Then you can get a result in the natural. So he says, no, you take your medicine, Gary, but believe you received when we prayed. Believe you received your miracle when we prayed. Take your medicine, thank God for it every time, call yourself healed, thank God for a new heart, and then listen to His instructions. Long story short, over the next 2 years, I would take my medicine, which I wanted off of that medicine because one of the side effects is it accelerates the onslaught of arthritis, which I don't need in my 50s, okay? And so I would take it, thank God. Thank you for my new heart. Heart, I call you new. I call you perfect. I call you normal. After about 6 months, while in prayer one day, I was fixing to go refill the prescription bottle again, and I heard the Lord say, start skipping every third dose. Every third dose. So I figured that out, and every third dose. After about another 6 months, skip every other dose. Long story short, over a 2-year period, He slowly and gradually weaned me off of that medicine. And May of 1998, the bottle was empty. I was fixing to go get it refilled. And I heard the Lord say, your new heart is manifested. You'll never need that medicine again. Now, this is, 2003? So that's been quite a while. Now, said all that to say this. That was how the original war was won. Gary, have you ever had those symptoms again? Now, I'm going to tell you no. No. But I've passed up wonderful opportunities to receive them. Satan's counterattack. Not even too long. Now, seriously, though, I mean, for the most part, it's been just fine. I mean, I haven't had a problem, haven't had another dizzy spell, haven't been on any kind of heart medication. In fact, I don't take anything, I don't think. I don't take anything. And my blood pressure is perfect, everything, you know, my pulse is low, everything's good, okay? But just out of the blue now, over these years, from 98 till 2003, I have had some wonderful opportunities to receive those symptoms again. Just out of the blue. Thank God I have recognized them every time they came. One of the more serious ones was within the last 6 months. This one, usually when it starts and those symptoms come again, when it happens, you about black out. I mean, you know. So right away, I start confessing the word and speaking the word and doing all. And normally, quickly, very quickly, they're just gone. I like to call it Satan's flip chart. Will you believe supraventricular dicardia? No, I've been healed of supraventricular tachycardia or dicardia, whatever you call it. I've been healed of that. Flip. Would you believe a serious heart murmur? Would you believe cancer? Would you believe blood pressure? Would you believe heart attack? Would you? And I always go, it's gas. That's our mine and Sue's comment. We decided a long time. I don't care if it's a pain in my thumb. It's gas, because gas will pass. You can do what you want. It's been working for us, okay? You do what you want, okay? I'm not trying to, you know, start a gas doctrine here, but... I mean, there's pain of some kind. I just call it gas, because I know that'll be over pretty quick, okay? All right? Now, this one of these last ones, though, now... See, and you got to locate people where they are. Even as I teach this... Now, when you go... I hope we get to do this lesson, because I'm not where you're not. You haven't walked the same path I've walked. You haven't had the same teachings I've had. I'm amazed at some people that are surviving without sending them the fundament. I ask them, "Have you ever listened to this series of Dave's?" And they go, "No." How are you alive? How are you surviving? I don't understand how you can survive if you haven't heard some of this. You know, and even before that, some of the what I call faith 101, just the basic raw fundamentals of faith, you know. So anyway, get back to this one of his last attacks. He'll come back around and try you again, and you need to be ready, and you need to recognize it. Well, this last time when it come around, and this is within the last 6 months, I mean, I couldn't make it. I was speaking. I wasn't doing anything wrong. I opened my mouth, and I mean, it got worse. And then an hour later, it got worse than that. And an hour later, it got worse than that. And about that time, even my brain is going, you better dial 911. And now the reason I said, I'm not suggesting you do what I'm about to tell you, because I don't know where you are. But I already made up my mind. This is true, or I'm just ready to go home. Amen. I already made up my mind. So, I mean, it's bad enough now where my color is gone. My skin is cool to the touch, which is not normal. Look at me. I'm ruddy and red and, you know, warm usually. And it's, I mean, the pain is so bad. And I'm speaking the word and I'm calling my heart normal. And you know, this is a rare thing. I hadn't had one of those in a year or two. It'd been a long time since I had anything like that. And I had to make the decision now, okay, because in my mind, see, the battle's always in the mind. In my mind is, okay, now are you willing to hold on to your faith even if you wind up in heaven in 5 minutes? So I'm making that decision. I'm rolling it over in my mind. I'm going, this might be it. What am I going to do? Well, I made up my mind and said, Lord, as far as I'm concerned, I've got a new heart. And I'm not going anywhere but to you, if that's the way it turns out. But I'm healed, and that's just the way it is. Well, within just a little bit, just as quick as it came, it left. And I've been fine ever since. Now see, it could have been gas. I don't know. To this day, well, I didn't go get it checked. I don't know, and I don't care. People say, when's the last time you had a checkup? 1996. That's when we went into the ministry. So who's your doctor? Jesus? You know, I haven't, you know. So, well, how's all your cholesterol numbers? I tell them perfect. Well, how do you know, Jesus? Anyway. Now, I will tell you this. Anytime, anybody, ever, even if it's my own children, I don't care who, even if it was a minister, I don't care who it is, if you come and ask me, whatever the symptoms are, if the question is, Gary, do you think I should go see a doctor? 100% of the time, the answer is always yes. Because if you've got to ask that question, I already know where you are. I already know where you are. Okay? Now, that question rolled around in my mind. I had to locate myself. But if I had to ask Sue that question, she should tell me, go to the doctor. Okay? That's why I'm not going to tell you to do what I did. You got to locate where you are. Okay, but let's see how we can advance in this. Where did I say we were going to start? Psalm 1. Good. Let's go to Psalm 1. Hallelujah. I think I got it marked here. Dave has taught on this a lot of times, and I'm not going to try it. This is where we normally launch to teach meditation of the Word. But see, a big part of meditation of the Word is to speak the Word. We're going to get to that in a minute. And have it in your mouth. But let's just talk about meditation of the Word in general. Look at this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I like the way Dave says this. He says, this guy is not willing to receive his counsel from the world. I like the way, that's really what it's talking about. When it comes to how you're going to walk, where are you going to get instructions to walk by? Are you going to get it from the world, the sinners and the ungodly? Or are you going to do the verse 2? Rather than be verse 1 guy, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, you've got to remember, that's all the Word of God, really, they had in that day. They had the law. We've got the Word. We've got Jesus, who is the Word. Okay? So I would substitute for our generation, for our dispensation, but his delight is in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And in his Word, does he meditate? Now notice, day and night. How many of y'all are pretty good meditators when you sleep? See, it's kind of hard to meditate when you sleep, but it's really not if you fill your spirit with the Word of God in the day. Your dreams, it's amazing. When I spend time in the Word and I meditate, and I assimilate. What I like to do now is what, I thank God Dave taught us assimilation. Just assimilate the books, especially in the New Testament. Read each one 30 times minimum. It is amazing how even in your thought life at night, when you wake up, I was sharing a dream that I had with Sue that's going to have an effect on us. You equip your spirit for day and night meditation. And even in the night seasons, you can have visions and dreams. And I recommend keeping something to record it with, either a voice recorder or a pen and paper, something by your bed. So when you first wake up, well, that's when you want to capture that. You want to capture it while it's fresh. Well, anyway, what will happen to a person like that? Well, a person that meditates in God's Word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now notice, his leaf also shall not wither. When did trees' leaves wither? When they're not getting enough water, see? I've drove trucks for years. I've been across the Mojave Desert. I've been across all the deserts of New Mexico and Arizona and Nevada and everywhere. And you can be driving out there to parched desert forever. Then you'll start coming up to a city like Kingman. Well, there's a river that runs through Kingman. That's why Kingman is there. I mean, you'll find out all those cities out there, all of them, are by a river. And what's funny, the desert will be just brown, just sage, just a little brush and little scrubby plants here and there, barely a foot tall, just little scrubby things. But as you're getting closer to the town, you'll normally see that river. Even if you can't see the water, you can see where it is because you'll see a ribbon of green. There's a ribbon of green. Why? There's trees growing along both sides of that river, trees and plants. Why? How are they getting... I mean, it's drought. It's not raining. How are they getting nourished? Their roots are down, going into that river. They're drawing their nourishment from the river. They don't have to depend on the rain. You meditate in God's Word. You start drawing your nourishment from God Himself. Jesus is the Word of God. You'll draw life from God. And everything around you can be going to hell in a handbasket. Can I say that in church? Good, I just did. I mean, it can be recession, depression, and everything in the world going on, and the black lung flu, and I don't know what all's going on. It does not have to come nigh you. Amen. If you've learned to become a meditator. Day and night, it says. Not just in the daytime, but day and night. Become that kind of a person where that's your food, that's your drink, you are what you eat. Now, I tend to be a newsaholic. I'm trying to get delivered from that like Mike got delivered from football. I'm working on it. Okay? I'm working on it. I'm getting better. But if I'm not careful, I'm planted by the rivers of news, and it's not good. It's not good. Now, I believe in knowing a little, knowing enough to know what's going on, but I need to be meditating in the Word day and night. Now, Dave has taught us over and over. I know you already know this, but let's finish that one part. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, rain or no rain, and whatever he does shall prosper. Right? I want to show you a little more clear or a different picture of the same kind of thing over in Jeremiah 17. Go to Jeremiah 17, look at verse 5. You want to lead a cursed life or a blessed life? I prefer blessed myself, thank you very much. Here you can find the definition of a cursed man and a blessed man. So, Jeremiah 17, that's back where the pages are still new. We'll start in verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusts in man and maketh flesh his arm. Now, isn't that a strange way of saying it? We'll come back to that in a minute. He makes flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What will that guy be like? He shall be like the heath. And we don't use the word heath. That means shrub. Little scrubby scrub thing. Bush. He shall be like the scrub bush in the desert. And notice, he shall not see when good cometh. He shall not see when good cometh. But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Man, what a picture. That's not a good place to be. Now, when it says, what is this guy doing? He's trusting in man and makes flesh his arm. He is a self-made person. He's trusting in his own ability for his own righteousness. He's trusting in his... You know who would be a good person to think of like this? That's Saul of Tarsus before he got saved. Trusted in his own ability, trusted in his heritage, trusted in his ability to keep the law, makes flesh his arm. He thought he was killing God's people and thought he was doing God a service. Jesus had prophesied about guys like him. But now notice, let's talk. That's the cursed man who's trusting in man, trusting in his own ability, or let's put it another way, trusting in... See, I believe we should be involved in politics, but I don't really put my hope in politics. I think God intends for me to vote the right way and vote for righteousness best I can. But people, I'm not trusting in politics to save our nation. I'm trusting in revival to save our nation. We've got to have revival. I don't care who's in office. Okay? Now, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be, see if this looks familiar, he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And notice, he shall not see when heat cometh. Now, he didn't say the heat wasn't coming. He said the tree wouldn't even hardly notice. See, and that's just like he said over here in Psalms 1. Now, how does a person trust in the Lord and make the Lord his hope? One real good way to do it is learn how to meditate in his word day and night. So you're always thinking about what God said instead of what man said. That's good stuff there. Okay? Let's finish this verse here. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreads out her roots by the river. He'll not even see when heat comes, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Is that good stuff or what? I want to be like that guy. I want to trust in the Lord, my hope be in the Lord. How are you going to do that if you don't even know what the Lord said? See, when those symptoms come on me, I'll just tell you the truth, when those symptoms come on me, I remembered that prayer line. And I remembered Dave praying. And I remembered his counsel to me. Gary, you got to do what you preach, boy. Believe you received when we prayed. But I don't have any evidence. I mean, the evidence, he says, no, your evidence is you believe you receive when we prayed. call yourself healed. Call yourself healthy and call your heart new. And I had to do that for 2 years. Weaned off slowly from that medicine before I had the manifestation. And still, when the enemy came around for a second attack, third attack, fourth, I'm not going to... There's probably been five times in all this since 98 to 2003 that I've been attacked again. Okay? That last one was the most severe. But thank God I had still meditated in the Word enough where I can hear Him. I know what God said. I know what God said about it, see? Rather than just... Otherwise, you're just going to go with the symptoms. Now, go over to Joshua. Chapter 1, verse 8. You already know where we're going. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Because I want to show you this aspect. And then I noticed even in Dave's message today, even though most of it was ministry, he also picked up that same theme of speaking, how important it was to speak God's Word and speak in line with God's Word. So the Holy Spirit has that on His mind today because Jesus has it on His mind today. So let's look at one more aspect of meditation. Now, assimilating the Word is important. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I love this definition. There is no real faith beyond your knowledge of God's Word. How can you believe when you don't even know what He said? You got to find out what God said. Then once you know what He said, now you can have faith in that. That's why faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? It's real simple. All right. Well, they were about to come into the Promised Land. So God's appointing Joshua now. Joshua is going to be the one to go in and overcome the strongholds. Now, just so you'll know, what this is a type of is your mind. The Promised Land is your soul. God's already given you victory in your spirit. Where all the strongholds are, honey, is in the mind. Joyce Meyer's book, The Battle is in the Mind. Is that the way the title of Battle is in the Mind? The Battlefield of the Mind. Dave's got one called The Prison is in the Mind. Same truth. All right? That's where the strongholds are. That's where the giants live. That's where Anak is. I be not able, I be not able. Yes, you are able too. If you have God's Word. But meditation is more... Oh, I hope we get this part. Most people miss this part. Faith, we'll say it again. Faith has two parts. Believe in the heart. What's part two? Confess with your mouth. Most people get defeated on step two. Once you've been around for a little while and you've heard the Word of God and you know what, you have knowledge of it, still yet most people get defeated because they don't ever open their mouth and say what the Word of God says. You can't think the devil away. You can't think him away. You speak him away. You speak to the mountain and it obeys you. Alright. So Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It took me forever, people. If you get a hold of this, you'll leapfrog over lots of folks now. Now, again, this book of the law, let's put in there this Word of God. The Word of God, okay? They didn't have the whole Word of God. We do have the Word of God. And I'll tell you the truth, I almost call this lesson, Put Jesus in Your Mouth. Because Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. Really, I want you to think about grace. I want to think about everything He's done for you as a new creature. The words, the revelation that Jesus brought to earth that had never been brought before. You fill your mouth with that. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Just on and on and on. Put Jesus, the Word of God, the new covenant revelation in your mouth. Oh, but I haven't read the verse yet. So, chapter 1, verse 8. This Word of God, instead of the book of the law, this Word of God shall not depart out of your mind. No, oh, wait a minute. That's how most people fight. Now, you should keep it in your mind, but that is not what it says. This Word of God shall not depart out of your... The only time it's actually in your mouth is when you're speaking it. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. You can memorize it. You can have it in your memory. But the only time that the Word is in your mouth is when you're speaking it. The Hebrew word has, it's not only think about and roll it over in your mind and all of the things that we think of, it also has the aspect of muttering almost under your breath, to always be saying it. I am the righteousness of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things are become new. I have power and authority over all devils, over serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. You know, that's an aspect when you're reading the Word, you know, or just any time, just mutter it. Be saying it all the time. Don't let it depart out of your mouth, see? Well, what happens if you do that? Thou shalt meditate therein, here we go again, day and night. Day and night. And if you do, you're going to start learning how to walk as the creature that God says you really are. Boy, we could do a lot of teaching right there. That there's some old adages now that's been perverted a little bit, but the truth is the truth anyway. I'm just going to tell you, if you're making notes, you ought to write this down. You will never rise above your confession. You will never rise above it. Faith, you hear that air conditioner going there? Faith is like the power plant. See, it really is. The new nature, the new creature that's on the inside of you, the power of God is kind of like that air conditioner. We can hear it humming on the roof there. It's working. But see, your mouth is like the thermostat. That thing, it's got all this power to cool the building. You know, I could go over there right now and change the thermostat and shut it right off. And here in a little bit, we'd be all uncomfortable because it's 100 degrees out there. And somebody'd say, well, something's wrong with the air conditioner. Not a thing is wrong with the air conditioner. Something's wrong with the thermostat. See, that's the way it is with most Christians. You've really got faith as far as knowledge. Lord, if you go to this church, you've got knowledge. You've got knowledge. But something's wrong with my faith. Something's wrong with your mouth. You're having what you say. And what you truly believe in your heart, and that you're saying out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, I know you confess. Here's another one for you. That's true. Fake it until you make it. It's true. That's why God had me confess His Word 4 hours a day for 6 months. I was faking it until I made it. He knew I had, you talk about Anak, the sons of Anak in the land, and poverty strongholds. I mean, the sons of Anak lived here. And giants in the land. And I could not, I needed to believe. We were living in that little house that we lovingly now call the Roach Hotel. The little house with the garage door leaned to the left. I've never seen a house so infested with roaches. You literally, you wouldn't lay on your back in the bed. You're afraid one fall off the ceiling in your mouth. I am not exaggerating. I've never seen a place where, I went out one time to dig something in the backyard. I put a shovel in the ground and turned it over and it was boiling with roaches. I have never in my life seen such a place, and that's where we live. My house needed for me to believe in some prosperity. My car needed for me to believe in some prosperity. My kids needed for me. My wife needed. Gary needed. But none of that changed because I didn't know how to meditate God's Word. And Michael, y'all have met Michael Muccio now, the guy that led me to the Lord. He didn't teach me poverty. It's strongholds that I got growing up in church as a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kid that grew up under that doctrine. And boy, when you've got stuff lodged in you from there, it's hard to get it out. So y'all know what God did. He gave me confessions, all, you know, three of them to just say. He said, I just want you to say them. I didn't know anything in those days about combining hope with your confession and all. I just knew what He said. I want you to say these out loud 4 hours a day. Man, I started saying those verses, you know, what is it? Young lions do hunger and suffer lack. But those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. It was hard for me to say that out of my mouth. We lacked everything. Are you kidding me? You know, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I was trying to say those things and I've already told you I failed 1,000 times trying to do it for 4 hours. My logical brain would just talk me out of it. This is stupid. This is silly. This is not accomplishing anything. And I just quit, you know. Well, for months I quit. Well, finally, Gary, it was your great faith that got you to finally do it, right? I'd love to tell you that. No, it was... Our situation got so bad. I had come to like the Grand Canyon. There's bankruptcy and failure living under a bridge, and my toes are hanging out over the edge. And there was just nothing else to do. I came to the end of everything that was possible. And so I finally did it. And then I did it the next day, and I did it the next day. And it's still, I hate to tell you, those strongholds were so big. It took months and months. I think I started in November. We didn't really have a breakthrough until the following April. But boy, we had a breakthrough. I still remember the day. It's like stepping out. You've been in one room for a long time. You see into another room, but you can't make it through the door. You can't step across. I still remember the day that in the spirit, now nothing changed in the natural that day, but something, the Anak died, I guess. And somehow, I stepped over into this other room. And I wasn't that guy anymore. And I come home, that's the day where the bills on the table were stacked up over a foot tall. Most of them delinquent. You know, I learned how to shuffle the bills. You know, you know how to, y'all know what I'm talking about. Pay the electric this month, the gas next month, anyway. And I was walked in, and I just pointed right at him and said, I don't live there anymore. Something had changed on the inside. I had been meditating. Now, see, that's part of meditating, speaking it. And I had been doing that for months and months and months, and it still took a long time to bring Goliath down. But finally, I mean, he come down. Since that time, we have fed the world God's Word for free. I mean, fed them for free. Sent thousands upon thousands of tapes around the world. We don't live in the Roach Hotel anymore. We live in a nice little house, you know. It's nice. It's not anything. Jin Ho was here one time. I'd already preached for him twice in Korea, but he'd never been to my house. And you know how we teach, you know. We're not one of those gold and silver places, you know. And he knew what I taught. Anyway, Jin Ho, he's the pastor from Korea where I used to go and preach for 6 years. Okay, so him and Sune were here, and finally we're going to take him to the house one day. He's teasing me. I can hear him in the back seat talking to Sune. That's his wife. He says, ah, now we will see the silver and the gold. And he got to our house. It's about 2 miles north of here. It's just a normal little 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. We've been there for 27 years, you know. Well, praise God. Look at this verse again. The Word of God, verse 8, this book of the law, let's say it this way, the Word of God shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, third time he's shown me this, I know y'all probably get tired of my Lily examples, my grandchild examples. They were over at the house yesterday again, and we've got a nice little blow-up wading pool in the back, you know. Well, for Lily, it's more than a wading pool. To her, it's Olympic. She'll be 3 this month, you know. She loves that. She'd sleep out there if I'd let her, I think. She loves that pool. But I'd watch part of what she does now, you know, a little almost 3-year-old girl. She'd get down and she likes to get that water, just fill her mouth up. Just, and then she, that water just comes flying out, you know, spitting out across there. Just, and she'll fill it up again. And God says, that's the way I want your mouth, with my word. Now, I thought it was a good example. He'll teach you right where you are if you're listening, you know. He said, every time the devil says anything, blow on him. drown him. Drown him with my word, you know. Drown him with my word. Just have your mouth full of my word. And if you open your mouth at all, let nothing but my word come out. I thought that was good, you know. If we do that, we're going to make our way prosperous. And we're going to have good success. See, the world, what the world calls success, I mean, I know God's interested in you having what you need. You know, Jesus said He knows what you have need of. He knows you need food and clothes and a car in our society and all those type of things. He knows what you have need of before you ask Him. But see, the world will have you running after success and you'll lose your family. You'll be working so many hours, you won't have any time to tuck your kids in at night, and you know, and ruin your health. And I mean, Sue and I were on our way to financial success before we got saved. We lived in the right part of town, had two Cadillac cars, had real fancy suits, we had plenty of money. But I was an alcoholic, and I was working 16, 18 hours a day, burning the candle at both ends. How long would that have lasted? And plus, we were trying to be nice to each other, but we were becoming like, I mean, she was working too, and we hardly saw each other. We're looking back on it now, we don't think our marriage would have lasted 2 or 3 more years. So you can have, there's a difference between success, and what he says here is good success. So you trust in the Lord, pray and listen to Him, become that tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't care what He's called you to do. Your leaf will not wither. You will bear fruit. It doesn't matter what's going on around. It doesn't matter recession, depression, or anything else. Because you will have good success. You won't be like that little scrub there out there in the desert. We'll be like trees planted by the rivers of water. How many is going to remember that picture of Lily? Do this. Fill your mouth now. Come on. Become three for a minute. You're going to fill your mouth with God's Word. When the devil comes and says, boo, blow God's Word on him. Just let it come out on him. That's what he's saying. Nothing but God's Word come out. You'll defeat his counterattacks every time, too, that way.